This time the children can be dismissed to Children's Church. You know, as we continue in our series on worship and learning the language of heaven, today our focus is on enjoying God's presence. And that's P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, not Christmas presents, with a T-S. We're talking about what we've just shared, what you've heard in the scriptures today, what you've heard in the songs today, of recognizing when God is with us. And being in that place where you know that you've been with him, in his presence. As I reflected in my life, there are times in my life that I had a very more special, clear experience of God's presence that even earlier in my life, I didn't even really understand it. I have shared before that had kind of an unofficial adopted spiritual grandparents. Jack and Betty Hill were the youth directors at the Little Methodist Church that my dad came to faith in many, many years ago. And she had adopted not only myself and my two sisters, but a whole list of kids that she just opened her life to, her and Jack. And I think I've shared before that I can still remember as a young person going into their home, and there was just a special presence in the house that I realized part of that was Jack and Betty were just lovely people, and they were welcoming and warm. But I always remember the living room, though, a special sense of now I understand, of God's presence when I would be there with them. And I can still see Betty's chair, her Bible, devotional, sitting next to the chair. And I know that for many years, not only me, but my whole family was lifted up before God in prayer during those times. So that's when I think about the places where I remember sensing God's presence in a very special way. That's probably one of the earliest memories I have of just those visits to Jack and Betty's. In college, I had the experience of being at Hughes Auditorium, which if you know anything about Asbury College, now Asbury University, it was the starting point of the 1970 revival that took place, that started in Hughes Auditorium. And I had the privilege of going back just a few years ago, and I remember just walking into the sanctuary of the chapel and just sensing, as soon as you walk, for me, when I walk into Hughes Auditorium, it's just a sense of God's presence that I've not sensed many other places. And I could point to specific places, certain places I was seated or certain places at the altar where God met me in very special ways during my time there. For me, sometimes experiencing God's presence and sensing that he's with me is out fishing in the stream. It could be a prayer walk of just getting out in nature. For me, when I'm having a hard time connecting with God, one of the best things I can do is just get up and go for a walk. And just let my head be cleared and let God speak to me and begin to sense his presence with me. You know, some of you today, when you hear this idea of enjoying God's presence and the idea of sensing God's presence and experiencing his presence, that's something that you've heard. You kind of grew up with that language. You're comfortable with that language. Some of you, that still seems a little weird. Or maybe something that you're drawn to. Like, you like the idea of knowing that you've been in the presence of God's Spirit, and that he's there and he's speaking to you and ministering to you, but maybe it's still kind of a new concept, a new thought. So today we're gonna be going back to Exodus 33. Last week we looked at Exodus 33 and 34, we're gonna start with Moses. We're gonna move on to David, and then try to end with some practical application of what it means to really enjoy God's presence and seek his presence. But, you know, what we're talking about today relates specifically to prayer and worship. The two things, and those two things should blend together. Prayer of our communion and our fellowship with God and our worship of God and being in a place of just expressing our hearts and our lives and gratitude to God and our worship. This is a central truth to both of those experiences. There's a significant aspect, though, of our worship, and we've talked a lot about different things so far. We've talked about declaring God's greatness, of recognizing God our Creator and worshiping our Creator. there's an aspect of recognizing and experiencing the presence of God that is also central to our worship. And I believe if you read through the Psalms and some of the passages that we're going to look at today, and as I talk to people who really have understood this over their life and understood what it meant to really spend time in God's presence personally in worship, as well as coming in together corporately in worship, what I find is that the more that we recognize God's presence and the more that we cultivate an awareness of God's presence in our worship, the more that that is something that we do seek and something that we want more of. We want to experience it. When you've experienced God's presence moving your heart and your life in a special way, it typically draws us to a place where we necessarily want to repeat the same experience, but we want more of God's presence in our life. So as we keep that in mind, let's just dive into Exodus 33. And we're going to start with Moses. I'm going to read from verse 12. Exodus 33, 12 through 16. I think verses 14 through 16 are on the screen. We remember last week we looked at this passage and realized this is Moses after he's already gone up Mount Sinai. He came down. The first two tablets are destroyed when he sees the idol that his people, that God has entrusted him to lead. He's gone just for the time up on the mountain. He comes down and they're worshiping an idol. Those two tablets are destroyed. And before he goes back up to receive two more tablets, the Ten Commandments, you have this encounter where Moses is really pleading with God. And we looked last week that there's three specific requests that he has. He asks for him to ask God to show me your ways. You have this both a promise and a request from God that Moses is desiring that God's presence would go with him and go with his people. And then the part that we looked at last week, he actually is bold enough to ask God to show me your glory. And if you weren't here last week, that message is online. You can listen to that. And what that means, God honored that request to reveal his glory, his greatness to Moses. But we're going to focus on that second part of Moses' desire, genuine desire to know that God is going to go with him. And that's where we pick up in verse 12. It says, Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me." So Moses is basically saying, look, you've given me this incredible, huge task of leading this group of people. Now, who's coming with me? Who's going to help? That's the context of everything that follows. He says, "Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, this nation is your people." That's something you see with Moses often. It's kind of like the parents who say, "Hey, your son just did this. Did you notice that?" Like when we get frustrated, sometimes with a kid. You see often Moses when he's dealing with the stress of leadership. It's like, look, this is your people. This is your people that you've given me to lead. But you see in this request of Moses asking for God to go with him and to go with his people, you sense the stress of what Moses is experiencing and his full dependency upon God's presence in his life. And that's where we pick up in verse 14, which is on the screen. He says, "And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." That's God's promise. Before Moses even requests it or is expressing this, he says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." This is God's answer to Moses' earlier comment in verse 12. It says, "You've given me this job, now who are you going to send with me?" And God's looking at Moses and saying, "My presence will go with you. I will go with you. And I will give you rest." Verse 15, it says, "And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people?" So God has promised, I'm the one that's going to go with you. My presence is going to go with you. And Moses says, well, if you don't move us from this spot. Don't lead us if you're not going to go with us, is the heart's desire that you see Moses expressing here. He picks up in verse 16, "For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" Moses is highlighting something that is true for Israel and is true for the church today. What makes us distinct more than anything else? We can have a set of beliefs. We can have a lot of activity that goes on in the life of our church. But to truly be God's people, we need God's presence in our midst. We need to understand that it's God with us that makes us distinct. We are his people when we recognize that he not only calls us to follow him, but he then comes to fill us and to use us. You know, we've talked in leadership over the last couple of years that, I mean, we live in a world in which you could listen to a sermon every hour of the day. You can listen to whatever worship music, whatever your preferences are, every part of the day. There's something that when we've talked about what is unique about what we do on a Sunday morning that or should be unique is that we gather not only to gather together for fellowship, which is something special that needs to happen here when we gather together, but there is something special when God's people gather and recognize God's presence in our midst, when we corporately gather to worship. And it is one of those things that, just like Moses is saying as he's leading this people among all these nations who worship other gods, that principle is still true today. That if we really want to be distinct in the world today, we need to not only recognize God's presence, but the world needs to see God's Spirit at work in the life of our body. Moses understood this. He understood the significant need for God's presence in his life, and if he was going to carry this torch of leadership, he knew he needed to have God's presence with him at all times. But when we think about God's presence, I just want you to think for a second before we look at David. This idea of God's presence, if you look throughout the scripture, different people react differently to the sense of God's presence. Adam and Eve, remember, they walked Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, when you look at their where they are, and then after the fall, you know Adam and Eve enjoyed fellowship and walking with God in the Garden of Eden. But after they sinned, they tried to hide themselves from God's presence. There's fear there. We looked a few weeks ago at Isaiah and this incredible picture of Isaiah having this vision of being in the presence of God in God's throne room. And Isaiah is undone and he sees his sin. He sees that he is unworthy to be standing in God's presence. But then you see God provide for Isaiah. We see Jonah, the story of Jonah. Jonah is actually trying to run from God's presence, and he realizes there's even... in the belly of the whale, the great fish, there's no way that Jonah is going to escape what God has called him to do. There's a key theme running throughout Jonah. It's not only an issue of obedience and disobedience and God's heart for the people of Nineveh. You see Jonah and how pathetic it is that he thinks he's going to outrun or hide from the God who called him. And that brings us to a place of understanding presence that theologically we talk about God's omnipotence, his all-powerful. We talk about his omniscience, that he knows everything. God being omnipresent means that God is present everywhere. That's a theological truth that we can believe that yes, we believe God is present in anywhere in his creation. He's present. Psalm 139 reflects this, and David says, verse 7, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." David understood, unlike Jonah, that you can't run from God's presence. God is everywhere. That's the simple truth of God's omnipresence, that he is everywhere present. But you know, throughout the scriptures we see people having experiences with God where they see, they hear, they see God's hand move, they sense him working in their lives and the lives of those around him, and that's what theologians over the years have called God's manifest presence. that it's not just a theory and a theology that he is everywhere. It's coming into our experience and what we see, what we experience. I love the fact that we see all through the Psalms this idea of going into God's presence, that the most common Hebrew word for presence is the Hebrew word panim, which is also translated face. And think about that. It's implying the idea of a close, you get face to face with someone. That's close fellowship, intimacy. That's the picture when we talk about God's presence. It's we're coming face to face, like Moses in the same section of scripture where it says that he went into this tent to meet God face to face. That's the picture of God's presence and what he invites us to. A place where we can experience close personal fellowship with him. That's reflected in the blessing. And so if you've been in churches that offer blessings, it's probably one of the most common blessings that you hear from people, is may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. That idea of God's face shining upon us is reminding us of that, the blessing of God's presence in our lives. A.W. Tozer, who's been a great help for me, has been working through this series. As he talked about the difference between God's omnipresence of being everywhere, but then his manifest presence of experiencing it, he made the statement. He says, he is manifest only when and as we are aware of his presence. It's like that encounter with Jacob when God meets Jacob and he realizes that God was present there and he didn't see it. He didn't experience it. For us to really understand and experience God's presence, it forces us to come to a place where we're willing to cultivate an awareness of God's presence, that we're not only having the correct theology to say, yes, God is everywhere, but coming to a place that when we enter into times of private worship or times where we gather together in worship, that we are going to ask God to reveal himself, that God would speak to our hearts, that God would move in our midst. We just sang about this morning. We want to know that we've been in his presence. And you know, I think often we sometimes are afraid to talk like that because we don't want to move to a point where our focus is more on the experience and get away from the theology. But the theology and the experience should go hand in hand. And you can't read throughout the scriptures without realizing that God is inviting us into not just a theological truth. He's inviting us into a relationship where we can know him. We can experience him. David had such an experience with that you see all through so many of the Psalms that are attributed to David. You see that David's heart's desire is to always know that God was with him. Psalm 27, verse 4, he says, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David's not talking about just being in a building. David is expressing that his desire above anything else is to be in God's presence, to see God's beauty, to gaze upon his beauty, to inquire of him, to seek guidance and direction from God. For him, being in the house of the Lord all the days of my life was to be in the presence of God, and that's the one thing that he sought after. Later, David said in Psalm 84:10, he says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. David desired not only has experienced God's presence, he just desired to be in God's presence again and again and consistently. He desires to know that he's been with the Lord and that the Lord is with him. In Psalm 16:11, David describes the joy of God's presence. He says, you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. You know, I am amazed at times. There have been times in my life where I've been overwhelmed with anxiety about something or just something that's just been fixated on, or I find myself get distracted with something, and I'm always amazed if I can just pause, step out of the routine of what I'm doing, and just sit. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Stop, pause, and reconnect with God and be aware of his presence with me in that moment. That's an incredible gift. Because too often, I think we just say, well, we're just going to keep pushing through the day. And we can get scattered. We can be really busy. We can be doing a lot of things. But even if we're doing things for God, if we're doing that apart from his presence with us and recognizing his presence with us, we're going to burn out. God doesn't want us to do things for him. He wants us to do things with him. We walk with him. John 15 and the whole theme of John 15 of abiding in him. And in the words of apart from me, you can do nothing. That we need to make our home in him. It's Christ in us and us in Christ. There's an experience of God's presence in our life, specifically the presence of Christ in our lives. For those of us who have put our faith and trust in Christ, we can reconnect with him and know that God's Spirit is alive and working in us. David described that experience for him is that to be here in your presence, there is fullness of joy. Whatever you might be experiencing right now and in these days, this season of your life, I want to encourage you to ask yourself, are you really spending time quieting your heart, reconnecting with God, and letting yourself be more aware that he is with you, that his Spirit is there with you? David had such an experience of God's presence in his life that you also see that after David got himself in trouble, and the whole story that Hollywood loves to talk about, David and Bathsheba, and after he's confronted with his sin in Psalm 51, you see the words of his prayer of repentance and confession. Psalm 51:10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. It's interesting to me that David's first reaction is, don't take my kingship. Don't take my throne. It's, cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. David had witnessed Saul, who was pronounced king and given every opportunity that David later had. David saw the Spirit of God taken away from Saul. And I think that's a part of David's experience as king of recognizing he needed to have God's Spirit with him at every time. He needed God's Spirit in him to live the life that he was called to live and to be the king that he was to be for God's people. But that reflects in our lives just the urgency and the need that we have such a desire to be in God's presence that we wouldn't want to lose it. In all of this, this brings us back to this idea that we need to not only have this awareness of God's presence, but we need to find ways to cultivate an awareness. It's like cultivating the idea of cultivating the soil, digging up the soil. You can't plant seed until you dig up the soil and prepare the soil to plant whatever it is you're planting. For us to really experience God's presence, we have to cultivate our hearts and our minds and our lives to be more aware of his presence, to be intentional, to have that awareness in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, Paul gave these instructions. He said, rejoice always. In verse 17, this little phrase that we read it, and I don't think we always think about it, it says, pray without ceasing. And then give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This idea of pray without ceasing, does that mean we have to be on our knees 24/7? I mean, what does that mean, pray without ceasing? At the heart of it is having an awareness that God is with you in that moment and keeping the communication open. It's recognizing how much of our life is we have our quiet time or we have our prayer time and then we just dive out into the world and doing our thing if we're not consistently reconnecting, we can lose a sense of his presence with us throughout the day. The idea of praying without ceasing is like keeping the line connected, not hanging up, but say, whatever it is that I'm doing this day, I'm going to do it with him. Probably one of the most famous books that talked about that was Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God, where whether it was in church, whether it was doing dishes, his whole focus in that book was to teach us the truth of that we can be aware of God's presence and what he would say, practicing the presence of God, no matter what it was that he was doing. It was maintaining an awareness that God was with him. It gets back again to John 15, and the John 15, 4 specifically says, abide in me, this is Jesus' words, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. God invites us into fellowship with him, to remain in him, to maintain that vital connection. And this is where it's so critical when we're having our times of private devotion and times of worship, or we're gathering together with other Christians to worship Christ our Savior and to worship God our Creator. We come recognizing that when we know that we've been in his presence, that he's here in our midst and he's working, it changes what we do. Too often I think we come into worship services and our focus isn't in the right place. We can be focused on everything but the one that we've gathered to worship. In a very real way, whether you're up here playing guitar or keyboard or singing, or whether you're sitting in the pew, we all gather when we gather to worship to honor one person. There's one audience. It's an audience of one. We need to be seeking to honor God and everything that we do, recognizing that he is here in our midst and we desire to worship him. Tozer goes on, he says, God wills that we should push on into his presence and live our whole lives there. He wills that we should push on into his presence and live our whole life there. I have found in talking with people that really understand and know God's presence in their life, they've worked at this. This is not something they just said, oh yeah, it'd be nice. They're intentional to daily cultivate this truth and this experience in their life. Brother Lawrence, who I referenced his book a moment ago, he said this. He said, the most holy and necessary practice in our spiritual life is the presence of God. That means finding a constant pleasure in his divine company. Think about that phrase. To find constant pleasure in his divine company. Speaking humbly and lovingly with him in all seasons, at every moment, without limiting the conversation in any way. I hope that that's your experience, and if it's not, I pray that you would take steps to make this a commitment in your prayer and in your worship, that you would be intentional to move to that place that you're seeking to be aware of God's presence and invite God to be speaking to you and invite you into an experience with him of his spirit and his presence working in your life, that you could, like Brother Lawrence, say that there is constant pleasure in his divine company. To know he's with me. Whatever you have on your agenda this week, you don't have to do it alone. He wants to do it with you. And when we gather to worship, if we're here and we're worried more about what's going on around us, or judging what's good or what's bad about that hour-long worship service, or a little give or take, a little bit of time, if we're watching the clock, it's kind of hard to keep our focus as well. With all of that, we have to ask ourselves, are we really seeking to just know his presence? When we come in here and we gather, do we recognize that, wow, it's awesome. It's a blessing to be able to gather with other believers, to have fellowship and connection and community. That's part of what it means to be a follower of Christ, is be a part of a larger family, a part of a community. But in our worship, we have to also remember we gather, and what makes us distinct is God's Spirit, His presence in our midst, working in our lives, working the life of our body. And I pray that we would seek that. And some of the things we've talked about in the past that I think can be helpful for this, having short prayers, some people have called them breath prayers or centering prayers. This is usually how I start my day. I've got a list of about 10 or 11 I put in my Google Calendar. First appointment that pops up on my phone is a list of short prayers. And I have a few favorites, but sometimes I'll just pull them out and pick a different one. But it's that could be, Jesus, friend of sinners, have mercy on me. One of my favorites is the beginning of Psalm 121. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Galatians 2:20, there's a way to pray and be reminded of this truth, that it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. You know, whatever those, often I find, I have a list of, again, 10 or 12 that I look at, and I find at different seasons of my life, I need to focus on different ones. But it's amazing how a short prayer like that, prayed repeatedly, can center our hearts and our minds, our lives, on the truth that God is with us in that moment. One of the other things I've done over the years that has been helpful, and I know some of the group have been doing emotionally healthy spirituality, and I think Pete Scazzaro talks about this, is the idea of regular retreats, or having like a daily office, of having times where you don't just fill up in the morning and wait until the next morning to fill up again, but find ways to connect with God throughout the day. And I think the idea of a 10-minute retreat, it's about 10 minutes for me to drive home. It's perfect. I just turn the radio off, reconnect with God in His presence, and recognize He's with me. Corporately, when we gather, I think sometimes we just have to make sure that while we do are connecting with each other, we're having that time to connect with our brothers and sisters, somehow we need to also take the moment to just prepare our hearts to say, I'm coming in to worship, and I want to be aware of God's presence in our midst. However, we need to do that. Sometimes it's just pausing and say, let's invite God's Spirit to be with us. And doing that personally to say, God, speak to me this morning. I believe that if we can cultivate this personally and we cultivate this as a community, like Moses was praying for Israel, it's what will make us distinct. One of my greatest joys in ministry over the years is when I've seen someone who's new in their faith, that they don't have the theological language to describe what's going on, try to describe God's Spirit moving in their heart, in their lives, in the congregation. I can think of times where I can still remember a woman in my previous church that as soon as we would enter into times of worship, she would just be in tears. And she didn't understand what was going on. And it was God was ministering to her. God was present. He was ministering to her and speaking to her. And it opened up the door for her to take steps to give her heart and her life to Christ and take steps towards Christ, and so that God could keep doing that work in her heart and her life. Sometimes people that don't even understand theologically what's going on, they have this encounter and they say, there's something different about this place. There's something different about this church. There's something different about this person. And hopefully they come to that place of understanding that it's God's Spirit working in us. Because that leads us to the place of just being fully surrendered to Him to let God's Spirit fill us. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that we are God's temple, that you are the temple of God. It's not about a building, it's the church. We, the people of the church, when we have come to faith in Christ and God's Spirit comes to live inside of us, that you are the temple of God, in 1 Corinthians 3, it's plural. It's not singular, it's plural. When we're living the life that Christ has called us to, God's Spirit lives in us and through us. And anything we can do to cultivate a greater awareness of His Spirit and the work of His Spirit in our lives and in our body, it'll allow God to be doing a work in our hearts and the lives of those who come in that may not even understand what's going on. They're going to come in and they're going to sense there's something different about this group of people. in our worship, we have to make sure that we're not just coming in, singing the songs, opening up the word. We need to come in recognizing that we need God's Spirit to be working in our midst. And I'm going to pray toward that end, and then we're going to ask the worship team to come. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I am so grateful for your word, and yet I'm also, just as we pause and we reflect upon, Lord, what you invite us into. You invite us to know your voice, to know your presence in our lives. Lord, I just pray that today, even as we close in this song, that we would be aware of your presence with us, that we would honor your presence. Lord, that we would truly seek to worship you, and not only in our words, but in our lives as we surrender ourselves fully to you. Lord, we desire personally, we desire as a church to be filled with your Spirit. Lord, that your Spirit would be free to work in our midst, so that, Lord, that we as a people, individually and corporately as a church, that we would be known by the fact that you were in our midst and that you were working. Lord, help us to live lives, Lord, that reflect this truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.